Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh a prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through he preached all in the cities, till he came to Caesarea. Our attention shall focus on the question, What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now after Philip preached and the Ethiopian heard, baptism was requested. Before Philip baptized him, however, there was a point of concern that had to be settled. Nothing hindered this baptism because the Ethiopian, having heard the gospel, he believed it. And knowing what he must do, he obeyed as he was taught, and he went on his way rejoicing. What hinders people from being baptized today? Obviously, something hinders them. From time to time, all hindrances are removed and overcome, and one comes requesting to be baptized in obedience to the gospel plan. But many hear and do not respond favorably. They are lost. They are bound for eternal punishment as they are. And yet, when opportunity is afforded them to obey, they turn away and refuse. Since deity has done all that deity is going to do, having provided salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and with the inevitable judgment coming for us all, it is clear as to what man's duty is and what he ought to do. What doth hinder? But let us stress that whatever it is costly because it prevents salvation. But we're convinced that they're honest and sincere people who would be baptized, except they're confused, they're misinformed, they simply do not realize the importance of baptism. There are also some, doubtless, who are just prejudiced and ignorant, and they intend to remain so. Some may be stubborn and just too filled with pride to surrender to Christ. Now some are hindered because they are confused as to what is truly valuable in life. We love to live, but often we're mixed up as to what is the real meaning of our existence. There is a confusion of values. Possibly there are some who do not really care about life, and some even destroy their own lives. But most people are busy striving for something that they consider to be of some value. Some seek fame, worldly prestige, worldly knowledge, comfort, ease, pleasure, material gain. Others just want to live life the way they please without regard to their duty to God and their fellow man. Do your own thing is the attitude of some. What's in it for me is the philosophy that has captured so many. They want no restrictions, and they even deny the existence of God before acknowledging any accountability to Him. But no person rightly understands life until he realizes that his primary duty is to fear God and keep His commandments. Even if one gains the whole world but loses his soul, friend, he profits nothing. Life does not consist of our possessions. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs 1 and verse 7. In the way of righteousness is life, Proverbs 12 and verse 28. People need to ask what they hold as their priorities. And once they get this matter straightened out, they will be more inclined to follow the Lord's directions. Others are confused as to the necessity of salvation. Many false teachers have taught that sin is only as one thinks of it himself. They contend that there is no such thing as sin that damns the soul, even if there is a soul. And others teach that even if sin is real, being a good moral person, a good citizen, a providing father, one who pays his debts and has few vices, and is a respectable person in the community, even religious or a member of some church, that's all that's needed. And thinking this, they will not act in obedience. Nobody acts in obedience until they realize that they must. Probably the masses of people who are concerned for the soul have the idea that they shall enter heaven because they've got a pretty good record. The Bible teaches, however, that salvation is not earned nor merited. We cannot be good enough to go to heaven, friend, not on our own righteousness. Those that are saved must be in Christ. This is where salvation is, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. All spiritual blessings are provided for us, but those blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. To escape condemnation, we must be in Christ, Romans 8 and verse 1. We can only be saved through Christ, Acts 4:12, John 14:6. How many times must people read this to accept it? Nobody is in Christ until they've obeyed the Scriptures and what the Scripture teaches one must do to get into Christ. Galatians 3 and verse 27 says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ did put on Christ." Friend, without being baptized, the Bible shows you have no other way to enter Christ. And in the various examples of conversion in the book of Acts, we find Cornelius in Acts 10, Saul in Acts 9, Lydia in Acts 16, and all the others. They were good moral people, but they were still lost because they were not yet in Christ. Now, some are hindered from being baptized because they are confused regarding the cost of being a Christian. Well, being a Christian does have cost, because the life of a Christian is different. It's restricted. It's a regulated life, with many things that must be done and many things that are not to be done. There are the duties of work and worship and sacrifice. There are the requirements of purity and morality and other such matters that some have not properly considered. We do not doubt that there are some hypocrites in the church because some have not counted the cost and they're not willing to pay the cost. Hypocrisy on the part of some so-called Christians has been a barrier to many from considering becoming a Christian because they are repulsed by such hypocrisy that they see in the lives of those who do not take the cost of Christianity seriously. It is important, however, that we note how the hypocrite is not acceptable to God. And it is not an acceptable excuse for anyone to refuse becoming a Christian. Hypocrisy simply means that two souls are lost if we let the hypocrite stand between us and Christ. Both the hypocrite and the one out of Christ have no hope. We're not to think that any of us will reach perfection before we're baptized, or even after being baptized. Even those in Christ will sin, 1 John 1, 8 through 10. Christ is the only one to live perfectly, 1 Peter 2 and verse 22. But we, like the Apostle Paul, press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3 and verse 14. We're not expected to be perfect, even though we strive toward perfection. But we are expected to be faithful and to keep on keeping on walking with the Lord, Revelation 2 and verse 10. Now, while some might think that they're good enough to be saved without obeying the Lord in baptism, the Bible teaches that nobody ever reaches that point. The fact that we cannot be good enough is why we must be baptized, because in baptism we are washed clean by the blood of Christ, Romans 6, 3 and 4. Our victory is in Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 57. And dear listening friend, until one is in Christ, he remains lost. Now, some are hindered from being baptized because they are confused as to how much truth they must know before they can properly be baptized. Well, how much did those in the New Testament know? They were taught that they were in sin, that they could not save themselves, therefore they needed a Savior, and that God had provided a Savior, and Jesus Christ is that Savior. And they were taught how to get into Christ and what it means to be in His body, the church. The early evangelists preached Christ and His kingdom, the church. When people learned those things, they inquired what they must do, and when told to be baptized following repentance and confession, believing what they had been taught, they obeyed, and the Lord added them to the church. There was much that they had to learn thereafter. Their knowledge of worship, the way to live life daily, all the unique duties and features of being a Christian, that had to be taught them. But having made the commitment to follow Christ wherever it took them, knowing these things, they were able to begin. They knew they were dependent on God and the blood of Christ, and they learned how to reach that blood and were washed clean of their sins. And with this knowledge, they were baptized. Do you already know as much, including the meaning of repentance and being in the church? If so, friend, what doth hinder you to be baptized? Some think they've been baptized when actually they've only been sprinkled. And thinking this, they do not submit to baptism. Some think they have been baptized because they were immersed. But they were immersed without knowing the purpose of baptism as the Bible teaches. They were immersed to join some denomination, or because they thought they were already saved, or something other than for the remission of sins, or to get into Christ, which is essential to salvation. Some people need to follow the teaching of Acts 19, when Paul found some who had been immersed, but with an invalid baptism. And they were baptized again, this time in the name of or by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Only then were they right before God. My dear friend, men teach so many false doctrines that many are confused just what they must do to be saved. It's not because the Word of God is confusing, but because men have substituted their own doctrines. Some say we have nothing to do and it's entirely the God's work. Others simply say to pray through, expecting some kind of direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon them to save them. Why, people are told, just place your hand on the radio or on the television, or say some statement the false teacher reads to you, to pray the sinner's prayer. Simply ask Jesus to come into your heart. You hear all of that sort of preaching sometimes from people, and on are the many false answers people give as to how to be saved. But what does Scripture teach? In Acts chapter 2, the people on Pentecost were told to repent and be baptized. In Acts chapter 8, the Samaritans heard the gospel, they believed it, and they were baptized. Again, in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian heard the gospel, he believed it, he confessed his faith in Christ and was baptized. In Acts chapter 9 and 22 and 26, Saul heard the word, believed it, repented, and was baptized. In Acts 16, Lydia heard, believed, and was baptized. In Acts 18 and verse 8, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. And when we take the whole counsel of God, we see that people heard the gospel, they believed it, they repented of their sins, they confessed their faith in Christ, and they were baptized for the remission of sins and into Christ. And when they did this, they were added to the saved, which is the church, Acts 2:47. They're precisely the steps Jesus said must be taken. In John 8:24, except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. In Luke 13:3, he said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. In Luke 12:8-9, if you will confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. In Mark 16:16, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. There is no need for anyone to be confused over this matter whatsoever. Some may be confused as to when to act. Am I too old? Am I too young? Should I wait? When should I be baptized? Friend, it is the plea of the devil to get people to postpone doing what ought to be done immediately. Having an understanding of what is involved, there should be no hesitation. The Lord says we should act while there is time and opportunity. As the hymn that we sometimes sing says, today is the day of salvation, tomorrow may be too late. In the New Testament, those who were properly taught and were convicted were baptized immediately, straightway, the same hour of the night, even while traveling along the road. They did not wait nor allow the devil to plant additional hindrances in their way. Salvation was too important for them to let needless delay hinder them. Friend, if you have not been baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of sins, you're in a lost spiritual condition. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and will repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized today, the Lord will add you to His church, the company of the saved, and into the fellowship of the redeemed. Whatever may have hindered you in the past, it is not worth your precious soul. It is not worth suffering hell and losing heaven. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.